This is a Carlisle ValueCast, brought to you by the Carlisle Group. ValueCast brings you insights from our One Carlisle Network, providing analysis, data, and observations to help you navigate the global economy and top-of-mind issues in news. The Carlisle Group. Invest wisely. Create value.
Greetings and welcome to Carlisle ValueCast. I'm Chris Ullman, head of Carlisle's Global Communications. This is the latest in a series of podcasts featuring Carlisle investment professionals discussing innovation. Today we are joined by Jay Sammons, Managing Director on Carlisle's consumer and retail team. Welcome, Jay.
Thanks. Nice to be with you.
Jay, let's get right into it. What does it mean to be innovative?
I think at the core, it means not being afraid to do things differently than they've been done in the past. Oftentimes, strict adherence to past practice can stymie the ability of an organization to be competitive, especially in a market that's as dynamic as the one we're in today. We're all much more empowered by technology. We have the ability to communicate more conveniently, more frequently than we ever have been before. Those changes are enabling great ideas to get to market faster and more efficiently and effectively. And so if companies and people don't recognize that they have at least to consider new alternative approaches to what they may already do very well, they run the risk of being out-innovated in the marketplace and becoming less relevant and less competitive. So I think it's also important to note that being innovative requires a truly collaborative effort across an organization, drawing from the best ideas from a diverse group of individuals and teams so that we all arrive at great outcomes.
So you talk about an alternative approach and collaboration. Can you give me an example?
Mature organizations can develop cultural norms of the way they do things. And those norms can often be very powerful ones that drive the success of an organization. But if the people in those organizations are not open-minded about doing things differently, taking measured risks to innovate and drive change, then those cultural norms can be real impediments to an organization's success.
So along those lines then, is an innovative environment learned, or is it innate?
It's a little bit of both. People have varying degrees of creativity, in my opinion. But importantly, they can all learn from others about ways to drive change and address opportunities and challenges in a manner that might be a little different from how they've done it in the past. In the case of what we do, it may mean coming up with new and different ways to deploy our investors' capital wisely without taking undue risk. It's one of the great things about what we do here. We're always learning from our colleagues about businesses and trends and sectors and geographies, and importantly, how they're all addressing the competitive environment in which we operate, whether it's in our business or in the businesses in which we invest.
So when you see someone who is deemed an innovator, whether by the marketplace or you personally, what are the key characteristics that come to mind?
First, I think great innovators are very open-minded people. They have an ability to identify new ideas and new ways of doing things in order to create advantages for themselves or for their organizations. And they don't put up too many guardrails around their thinking. I think great innovators are also great listeners. They recognize the value of how others' ideas and thinking can drive them to accomplish even greater outcomes. And from a cultural perspective, when all levels of the organization see and feel that their ideas are being valued and incorporated into the innovator's thinking, they're even more likely to work hard to contribute to the collective success. I think successful innovators are also very persistent people. They recognize that they're not always going to get to the right answer the first time, and they learn from each iteration to build an even more optimal outcome.
So measured risk, great listener, persistence. Those are some of the key characteristics. And so what type of environment allows that to flourish? And in what kind of environment would it be squashed?
Well, I think culture plays a big part in it. There has to be a respect for new ideas and encouragement of people at all levels to share and to elevate those ideas so that the organization does not feel like they're taking too much risk by challenging the status quo. Of course, all that has to be done in the context of having leadership that has the experience to harness all those innovative ideas while not going too far outside reasonable boundaries.
So in your time at Carlisle, can you give us an example or two of an innovative act or thought or practice at one of our portfolio companies?
I think broadly the pace of technological innovation in the marketplace, particularly driven by digital and social media, has affected consumers and enabled a tremendous amount of disruption to occur in consumer markets. Because of the technological innovations of the last decade or so, companies are faced with new and different challenges. And the biggest change is that today consumers are able to step in and take a much bigger role because they now have the tools to do it. From a business perspective, this has allowed young, fresh, innovative, and more authentic companies to gain scale with significantly less capital, all while competing against the biggest, most sophisticated, and well-capitalized companies in the world. Technological innovation has leveled the playing field in many respects, and the consumer is ultimately the biggest beneficiary. We've tried to capitalize on these trends, first by developing a deep understanding of those disruptive changes in the marketplace, and then finding opportunities to deploy our investors' capital into businesses that we think will be the big winners of the future. And this has led us to a couple of unique businesses that I can talk about, Beats and Vogue, that ultimately turned into minority investments with those companies' founders. Both brands were under 10 years old when we invested in them, but in that period of time, they had both eclipsed the $1 billion mark in terms of value. Both were strong disruptors in what had historically been fairly mundane product categories, but they had found a way to differentiate themselves in a crowded and competitive marketplace by being innovative themselves and how they went to market with consumers. The culture here enabled us to be open-minded about those opportunities, to do the work that we know how to do, which is to evaluate great brands and great opportunities, and ultimately to invest nearly $1 billion of capital into those two companies. So the innovation that those two companies had created and driven into the marketplace in their product categories is what attracted us to them. And as a result, I suppose what we did by investing in them was innovative in itself.
Now, Beats, of course, is the headphones company. And Vogue is?
Vogue is the owner of the fastest growing hair care brand in the United States and increasingly so globally. It's a brand called OGX that competes in a marketplace that today is led by three large global players. And yet Vogue, through its innovation in the OGX brand and through creating a product and a marketing message that resonates with consumers better than any brand in the marketplace right now, is growing the fastest and taking market share and succeeding in a very competitive marketplace.
Can you cite one innovative thing that each of them did?
I think the founders of both companies recognized that what resonates with consumers today is authenticity in brands. Beats is competing in the headphone category, which frankly, over the last several decades, there's not been a tremendous amount of technological innovation, but they recognize the importance of culture and the importance of brand authenticity when they developed the Beats brand. The first pair of Beats headphones was sold in 2008, and by 2013, Beats controlled nearly two-thirds of the headphone market in the United States for premium headphones. And that combination of the rational attribute of understanding that you could buy a headphone that sounds terrific and the emotional attribute of wanting to be proud to wear that product because of Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine's backing is a very, very powerful combination, and it drew us to that investment.
And how about with Vogue?
The founder of Vogue recognized that he could create a brand and create a family of products that could address a consumer need that the large competitors in the sector are not meeting. The desire on the part of the consumer to enjoy the benefits of salon-oriented salon products, but at a reasonable price, and they're able to purchase those products in the places where they shop. It's a premium price product relative to the competition, but in the consumer's mind, it is delivering value that's worthy of that premium price. And as a result, the company's growth, which this year will be over 20% in the United States, is outpacing all of its larger competition, and it all comes back to the authenticity of the brand.
So Jay, who is someone or some organization that really impresses you in terms of their ability to innovate?
One person who I admire is the founder of Vogue and the creator of the OGX brand, Todd Christopher. He knew a long time ago that he had a great idea, and he was not afraid to take the risk of starting a business in a very competitive marketplace. He's been tenacious about building his business and his brand constantly finding ways to improve both the company's products and how the company markets them to consumers. He built a very lean and nimble organization that is capable of executing both quickly and exceptionally well. Most importantly, I admire Todd as a great business partner to us and to my team at Carlisle. He's been great to work with, and I look forward to a lot of success with him going forward.
And what is the role that Carlisle plays when you partner with an innovative leader such as Todd?
I think the most important role we can play is to continue to have a great deal of respect for what that leader brings to the organization through his or her ability to innovate and drive the success of an organization. We try to bring to our companies the things that we know the best, and the culture of Carlisle really supports that, allowing us to make introductions to help these companies grow more quickly, to bring resources into the organizations to allow them to operate more efficiently. But in these innovative, high-growth businesses, the most important thing we can do is not get in the way of that innovation and to put barriers up that would prevent those companies to continue to succeed.
What is one piece of advice you could give to the leader of an organization to help them be more innovative?
A big part of innovation, in my view, is speed, especially in today's market. Information travels fast, and people expect almost instant feedback. So an overly bureaucratic, excessively process-oriented culture can be a big impediment to success. Companies and organizations that can move quickly to adapt to the changing marketplace and environment have a big advantage today.
What's one thing that you could do to be a more innovative thinker and worker?
I think the biggest barrier to success and innovation is the perception of risk. In our business, as an example, we're always looking for ways to be innovative in our investing, which sometimes means doing deals that some might describe as non-traditional. And certainly those deals with non-traditional profiles can carry with them some different types of risks. We always have to be mindful of those risks, just like we are in any deal. And our standards shouldn't change, but we should, of course, use all the tools that we have to manage or mitigate those risks. So it goes back in our business to the fundamentals of what our most important constituents, our investors, expect of us, so that we all, as individual investors, can innovate and try new things in the context of doing what we know how to do well. It's to do our best to pick the right companies in which to invest. It's to work with the right partners and founders and owners and management. And importantly, it's finding ways to add value. And I think taken more broadly, it's important for individuals in any organization to find a leader whom they admire and who they feel is a great listener and someone whom they feel they can influence through their own innovative ideas. And that will allow individuals in any organization to learn about taking risks, to learn about iterating to get to the right outcome.
So you bring up this fascinating point that the employee should seek out a boss who listens. How do you do that?
I've always looked for mentors and role models, people whose behavior and talents and skills and leadership abilities I recognize as the skills and capabilities that are making that individual successful. If I'm able to recognize those people and model my own behavior to theirs, hopefully that will enable me to have the same level of success that they have. I think there's nothing more important than finding a great mentor, especially in the context of innovation.
So it definitely sounds like innovation starts at the top in terms of creating an environment that gives license to people to be innovative. Would you agree with that?
I do. I think it's more broad than just at the top. It's from every level of the organization. It's about culture. It's about sharing, collaboration, listening, respect. Because the minute people feel like their ideas to help drive the success of a business are not being heard or not being valued or not being respected, they're far more likely to suppress those ideas and not share them. And so it's all of our responsibility, those of us who are part of any organization, to be open-minded to the ideas, the opportunities, the suggestions, and the innovation of all of our colleagues.
Jay, thanks for a very interesting discussion on innovation. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on Carlisle ValueCast.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for joining us. For more information, go to our website at www.carlisle.com. This has been a Carlisle ValueCast podcast.